Did you know that a man's brain is rewired when he holds his newborn baby just after birth? True fact. Scientists have found that after just 30 minutes of holding his newborn in his arms, a dad's brain gets flooded with dopamine and oxytocin, which is sometimes referred to as the love hormone. In just a few short moments, his brain chemistry is changed forever. Thomas Berger remembers when that happened to him. Here he is telling his daughter about the day she was born.
I remember the first time I held you. And I can remember this day. I saw your eye. I saw your eyes. And I didn't want to scare you. In fact, I thought, you know, it's a good thing that babies can't bring everything into focus, because, I mean, it's so different out here than it is in the womb. But I remember saying, I hope you are never afraid when I'm around. Anyway, I do remember that. But it was your birth was a big moment in our lives.
Berger recorded that when he sat down with his daughter, Renee Freimeyer, inside a silver StoryCorps recording bus. It was parked outside the Clay Center in Charleston, West Virginia, back in 2018. Berger told her what it was like to do something kind of uncommon for a dad back in the 1970s.
I took a year off to be a full-time father, an at-home dad, from the time you're 1.5 to 2.5. And lots of good times during those years. Your mom was teaching school. We had moved to Milford, Delaware, so she could teach school and support us while we did this so-called experiment.
So at the time, this was 1970?
78, 79.
And there weren't a lot of full-time stay-at-home dads
there
at
weren't.
That time.
Well, not at all in the circle that, and we were always active in church, in the United Methodist Church, and we joined a church there. And I remember taking you to Bible study, and there were women with their kids around the circle, and here's me with you. And we also often used to joke when people would ask me, what are you doing? And I said, I'm a full-time at-home father. And people couldn't quite understand that. I often joked that they said, okay, what are you really doing here? Do you have some kind of terminal illness and you're just kind of waiting? What are you doing here? Nobody just stays home. Well, I learned later that lots of fathers who are out of work, they're taking care of their kids at home. There are lots of circumstances where many men, fathers, would stay at home to take care of their children. I certainly wasn't a pioneer or the only one. But we wanted to see, I wanted to experience fatherhood. I wanted to show your mom that I was committed to raising you. It wasn't just her job. And it was a real blessing. But I remember I had a bike and we had a little baby carrier in the back, not baby, toddler carrier. It was a seat, and we buckled you in. It's not like today where everything's surrounded you and you're wearing a hard hat and everything else. The only thing you had on your head was a little wool woven beanie, I think, no matter where we went. But we would go that place. We'd go grocery shopping, and the story that's told about you is after groceries, I had baskets, wire baskets on the back there, just below your feet, where I put the groceries on the way home. And we were pedaling through the parking lot, and a couple of little old ladies in a car rode by and said, look. I said, what? And I turned around, and you had gotten the egg carton of eggs and had opened it and just watched them roll out onto the pavement. They flop, flop, flop. There were the eggs on the pavement. Anyway, one time, you know, here's my parenting. We were not free-range parents, you know, where you just let them do whatever they want, but we were natural consequences. There was a book, I think, Children the Challenge. And the idea was natural consequences. And if those consequences would hurt you, you know, you would get hurt. Well, we'd have to come up with another consequence that would replace that. You weren't going to be hurt. So you and I took a little walk down to the local pond that was not far from the apartment there. And I told you that steep there, you might roll in. You know, you could roll into the pond. Well, you wanted to see the pond up close, so you kind of toddled over there, and sure enough, head first, right into this fishy, dirty old pond. Well, I picked you up. I don't remember if you cried or not, but I picked you up and hurried back to the apartment. Your mom was right by the door, sitting at her desk, grading papers or doing some teacher thing. And she said, "Ooh, what's that smell?" I said, "That's fish. Your daughter fell in the pond." "What?" Anyway, we got you cleaned up and we moved on. We had a wonderful year, I thought. I don't know if you, well, you were just a year and a half too. You probably have no memories.
I have a few. I think, you know, it's hard to know if your memories are your memories or if it's from a picture you saw. Yeah. But I remember making pancakes, standing on a chair, making pancakes, or flying kites.
Oh, that was an interesting time. I remember one time flying a kite. Finally got the kite up, and we were just in the middle of toilet training you. And we came, all of a sudden, you had to go to the bathroom. You weren't in diapers anymore. And, "Daddy, I've got to go pee. And it's 50 feet in the air. The kite is 50 feet." I was rolling like this, "Daddy." Finally, I just let the kite go, and we went upstairs so you could take care of your business.